and welcome once again to Crazy Comics and Stories. It's me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rap Bastard. And at the other end of the series of tubes and wires we call the internet, and not interrupting me for once, is Joe Crazy Writer. How you doing today, Joe?
Well, hello, Corey. Well, hello, Corey. It's nice to see you without a major operation again. How's your stones, Corey? How's your bones, Corey? Should we do that vasectomy once more? Get it right this time.
And believe it or not, one of our normal co-hosts is on and did not interrupt that.
What?
The lovely and talented Jen Wicked. How are you doing today, Jen?
All right, I am back after a long hiatus.
Well, I guess I better throw this out, my songbook.
Yeah, you can chunk that right in the trash there.
Oh, no, I'll wait.
I am back to break up this sausage party.
There was a party?
I prefer bacon myself.
They just kind of, well, you know, I was being generous there.
Joe, you never invite me to the parties.
Nope.
That's why I had to go to a movie on Christmas.
December was
so boring.
A blur, but I'm back.
Check this out. Look at my new scar. They went in through my belly button. Oh, it's like, ugh.
Joe's talking
over
me already.
Oh, hell yeah. I haven't had anybody to over talk in a long time.
And not only that, Joe's the only one who ever asks about the scar. Me, I would prefer to cover it up.
Nobody wants to see that shit.
Well, I cover it up with shirts, usually multiple shirts. The more shirts, the better.
Right now, hell yeah. Holy shit, it's cold outside. Holy shit.
Well, we will get into that when we get to geeking. I mean, to freaking. Because, But last night, 17 below. And that's in Fahrenheit, everybody.
We had a little bit of the when I was trying to get the truck going today.
Oh, that's not good.
No, it started up, but I was getting worried for a second there.
17 below, for those of you in the Europe, is 27 below in Celsius.
It frees all the moisture inside your nostrils cold.
It's not only can you see your breath, but if you were to breathe into a soap bubble, it would freeze. But people aren't here for the weather report. They're here to find out what's going on in the funny books, what's going on in the world of comics. And, Jen, have you read any of the comics that I gave you in your two-month hiatus?
If I didn't have time to do this, why on earth do you think I had time to read books?
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Joe!
I'm sorry, I'm downloading porn. What are we doing?
We're talking about downloading porn.
Okay.
That means pictures of bacon.
Mm, well, for Joe, bacon. Yeah.
Well, right.
So, Joe, what have you been up to as the temperature has dropped colder than my heart when I'm watching a reality show?
Hell, I'm in the cold, cold basement doing eBay. I ain't going outside. Although I did go out this afternoon. My family and I went to Mall of America just to wander around.
I saw that on the Facebox.
Yeah, we had a pretty good meal, and while the girls were out wandering by themselves, my wife and I proceeded to get drunk, so we were having a great time. Unfortunately, the buzz has since worn off, and
damn it!
Because Corey's insistence at starting at 8 p.m. proper, I didn't have a chance to go anywhere and fill up with any type of beverage that is alcoholic, so I was actually hoping to go toe-to-toe with Jen tonight, but we'll save that for some other night.
I'm not drinking tonight either, so.
Yeah, you don't want to drink when it's cold. It's no fun.
I have some eating to do after this, so I need to stay sober.
The other sad thing, drinking?
Inking.
Oh, inking.
Inking, inking.
That's very different.
Yep.
Never mind.
Hold on. Wally Wood said that inking and drinking pretty much had to go simultaneous. Oh, wait, Wally Wood died of alcoholism. Never mind, go ahead.
That was it.
Yep, pretty
okay.
much.
Yep.
Well, I have been reading the interwebs for comic book news, and we got to the end of the year, and they released all sorts of sales figures, all sorts of news about how comics did last year. And despite the hue and cry and people gnashing teeth and saying that everything has gone down the toilet.
Wailing.
Regular monthly comics.
Gnashing of teeth here.
Those are corn chips.
That's actually eating of Fritos. Very good. She can recognize chips from just over the internet.
Yeah.
Okay, now that is a bizarre talent that we must test on a future episode.
Yeah.
What am I eating now? What are you eating now?
Because one of the weird skills that I saw someone have is they can take the little candy hearts, put them in their mouth, and tell what they said
read
on
the
them.
Text.
Yeah.
I could see how you could figure that out. That's impressive, though.
I still think it was a trick.
I think you could memorize, like, the feeling of each one, because there's only so many sayings on them, you know?
I don't have enough time for silliness like that. I'm too busy reading articles on the internet about how comics are selling.
Yep.
But individual monthly comic sales are up about 8 or 9%, depending on whose figures you go with. Trade paperback sales are up about 10% from year to year. And comic sales are at their highest since pretty much about 2005, 2006. Now, inflation has not been much of a measure, so if you were a comic shop, you actually, this year was one that you were doing pretty well at. But we are now in the slow time of year, so I thought I would ask Joe for some tales from the shop.
Is there like a sound effect or some shit that goes in there?
No,
there
but he's
could be, but I
there better not be any sound effects.
He's polishing his shoes or something while he's talking.
He's got a mouthful of corn chips.
What is that? What is that scrape, scrape, scrape sound? Joe, are you scraping off the barnacles of the comments you were going to make toward Jen?
No, I would never make them towards Jen. I'd just email her if I had a comment.
But don't email her. She hates
don't
that.
Email me, man. My inbox is a nightmare.
So, Joe, first, the end of the year, what did you do when you looked over your sales? Did you go how you did year to year, or did you just take each year as it came?
I kind of did year to year, but I also paid attention to what I did the previous years. You know, if there was a mega event that bumped sales up, you know, it's kind of like, oh, well, sales went down, darn. Oh, look, sales went up this year. Yay. Oh, they went down again. But, you know, I didn't really worry too much about that. Just cash in the bank. Cash is king. That, and I want to try to see how much crap we got left over because we had to plan up, you know. Beginning of the 90s, we always had monthly cons we could go to. We could blow crap out. Towards the end, when Greenberg kind of went away, we just had to wait for the big MCBA ones to come around. So always looking to see what the blowout.
Sorry.
What was that, Jen?
I actually had a relevant comment.
And?
I remember those days because I dated a guy that worked in a comic and card shop selling cards and magic shit and Star Wars toys. And I remember, like, back in the early even in the late 90s, there was, like, little local comic conventions, like, practically once a month, even in Houston. They don't really have anything like that anymore, just the big cons.
Not really. No, they kind of disappeared. There is a couple guys doing shows, but they don't do them monthly anymore. They do them.
They were usually like
quarterly.
Little shows, you know, like in a ballroom in a hotel, like very small.
Yeah, yeah, similar to what was that thing we did in December?
Geek Fest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of missed stuff like that.
Now the interesting thing, though, Corey, you talk about what did I do? I had already planned by the time January's books come around, cutting back already. And we talked about this ages ago, so it's probably, you know, new, not that big a deal to bring up again. But it's like, we're always ordering books 2 months in advance. So January right now, I'm buying stuff for March. January, I'd be buying stuff in November already. So I'd be looking at, I don't know, pick out like Batman. Okay, say I had 10 for the shelf, sold it 6. Well, I might put 7 on the shelf, try to get it down to 1. There was only 1 or 2 slow times in January that actually the trend changed. And I think that was Operation Galactic Storm, a big crossover Marvel did that continued to sell very heavily during January, which was amazing.
Oh,
dude, that doesn't
stop
sound
touching
good.
Yourself.
Please stop. You're making me uncomfortable.
I don't know.
Keep going. I'm getting real comfortable.
There's this horrible pain. There's this horrible pain whenever Joe mentions that crossover. It just, it hurts.
Oh, quit your whining.
It hurts.
It's sold. That's all that matters. And it's sold well. But most
they collected
of the time,
that thing in a trade paper, in two trade paperbacks, and I would give it to people who I hated.
Yeah, I'm not talking quality here. Now, that's a different issue. Don't be changing the subject. Jeez, are we arguing politics or something? No, we're just talking outright sales. The other thing to remember, there were three times of the year where things changed and people would kind of drop off the face of the earth. One of them was when school started, one of them was when summer started, and one of them was the new year. So, you know, you always had people that come in once a week, once a month, and you had some people, if their pattern changed, you had to kind of keep an eye on it. We usually only went 4 weeks out if, like, Amazing Spider-Man 27 came out and then 28 was suddenly in your bin. You haven't been in 4 weeks, so I'd just give a quick call. We'd lose a few people. Most of the time, though, it was just a quick reminder because, you know, beginning of the new year is one of those arbitrary times where I'm going to make resolutions. I'm going to do something different. I'm going to do this. Or in the case like we're doing now, it's too freaking cold to go outside.
And you should be reading more comics.
As a sidebar, Corey remembers the coldest day ever we had when we were in Hot Comics.
Oh, that was fun.
And
not sales-wise,
it was
but
a Tuesday,
it was fun.
So we were watching wrestling and I...
Joe?
Joe disappeared.
Joe? Hello?
I think we lost him. Who says he's online?
Yeah, sometimes that happens.
He's going to get edited out. I don't have, like, a book of dad jokes to read or anything.
Oh, thank God.
I mean, I can't pretend to be Joe. And I'm not singing.
Oh, wait, Joe's back!
I'm back.
Oh, good. We don't have to drop the call.
You make sure this shit's recording.
Yes.
And by the way, Jin did say that she cannot imitate Joe, so we do have to count on Dan for that. Or Butch.
That's okay, I can't imitate.
We are still recording.
I can't, you know, imitate Jin, so.
Nobody can
I'm not
imitate me.
Near that.
I'm inimitable.
Indubitably.
I don't know, we were having too much fun discussing you.
Oh, okay.
I
was commenting what the sale was for the day, $4.95.
Oh, yes.
A
okay, coldest day of the year.
And a candy bar.
And I bought all my comics on credit that day.
Yep. So that was the record day lowest sale, Sub-Zero. Tuesday.
And that was the day we took out the pan of hot water and watched it freeze in the air.
Yes. Which
that
you can do,
I
guess.
Amazing.
My daughter looked it up. When it gets absolute air temperature of 21 below zero or more, you can take a glass of boiling water, throw it in the air outside, and it instantly vaporizes into a cloud. And if you watch the newscasts, you know, these meteorologists are just, they love to do that. It's like, oh, here's something dumb I learned in meteorological school.
If I throw cold water in the air now, will it freeze?
When it hits the ground, it might.
Yeah.
Oh.
But it won't have the same fun effect. The other thing, if you're going to do this, because remember, was it 2 years ago or 3 years ago when it got uber, uber cold for like 2 weeks and people were doing that, but they weren't gauging the wind temperature and they were ending up in the ER because they were taking these pans of boiling water outside, throwing them up in the air as the wind would blow it back in their face.
Wow, that's Darwin Award worthy.
It is.
And we talked a little earlier, what I like to do is blow soap bubbles outside because they freeze and one of two things happen when you touch them. They either shatter or they tear. See the things that you've moved into where, Jen, where it's so cold these things happen?
I desperately need a bottle of soap bubble stuff now.
So, Jen, with artists,
huh.
Does the end of the year, first off, for any sort of financial or tax things, are there things that an artist would need to do? And then do you personally kind of look at years in groups, or do you just look at it as, okay, I'm still moving forward with stuff?
Yeah, I mean, like, I look at it year to year, like, up or down. But, I mean, as long as I'm paying my bills, it's not something that I sweat too much. I don't really like, I mean, if you were an organized person that that took care of everything in a timely manner, I'm sure there would be like lots of tax preparation you would do at the end of the year. Mine tends to be shove everything in a folder until sometime in February, at which point I begin to panic and then sort everything out and then figure out how much money I made the previous year. So, I mean, yes, if you were responsible, if you were me, no.
Oh.
You know, as long as I can afford, you know, corn chips and don't get kicked out on the street, I'm good.
Corn chips.
And there go three more listeners.
How'd you like that transition?
There you go.
Thank you. I owe you a cup of coffee for that.
You're
welcome. A shot of vermouth.
One of the things that I do for this here podcast and my other side projects is something I learned from a professional wrestler, believe it or not. They keep a notebook, just a regular one of those school notebooks that has the weird finish on it.
That you lose and, when you move across the country and it had all your comic scripts written in it?
Yes, exactly. And I write down everything that has to do with the podcast or my writing if I pay something out or if I get something, such as, what was it? Last month we sold 2 ads. Oh, write that down in the notebook. Now, eventually I will have to sort of create a separate little company. And someone is helping me with that this year because we've got some big stuff coming this year. But lately it's just, okay, write that.
Am I going to get paid?
Are you going to get paid? Hell, am I going to get paid? And I think we lost Joe again. Yes, we lost Joe again. God. You know who's not getting paid? Joe. That's who's not getting paid.
I don't know. I think my paycheck should go to buying him a better internet connection.
But no, if you're involved in the project we have in September and something wonderful occurs with that, which there is a slight possibility there will, you could get paid.
Is this the thing I had to go eat hamburgers for?
Yes.
Man, I didn't have time for that.
Well, you also could have had pulled pork nachos.
You didn't tell me that.
I had not been there before.
Well, now I need that, like, desperately. I already used that word in the show. I hate repeating myself.
Well, I'm used to it. I work with Joe.
All right, let's see how far we get this time. Thank God I still got corn chips. Man, upstairs got another bag. It's going to be a long session.
That's still better than Alaska.
Very true.
One of the things that I've noticed, Joe and I both read the column Tilting at Windmills by Brian Hibbs over on Comic Book Resources, comicbookresources.com. Brian Hibbs does a column every month about comic book retail, specifically his store. He has another website called The Savage Critics where he reviews books and talks in much more detail. But in Tilting at Windmills this month, he mentions that both the Marvel and the DC reboot have really hurt his business going into the fourth quarter.
Why?
Because the fans have kind of went, oh, this is a good jumping off point. And one thing I've noticed, because I look at the sales, is that the DCU books, when DC came back from Convergence, they had, what was it, 21 or 23 new books? 21 new books? Only 2 of the new books are not in cancellation sales territory already. And that's 6 or 7 months, and they're already selling worse than the books they replaced. Over at Marvel, they are still way new into the all-new, all-different Marvel, so we're only getting sales figures on the first few. And while the drops are fast, books are pretty much hitting the level they were before Secret Wars. And Joe, as a fan, you've talked about how DC has kind of lost you over the years with the New 52, and you're not really digging on the all-new, all-different Marvel.
Well, the books I'm not big on is there's like there used to be one Avenger book and then it would morph into a second one and you had to kind of follow along. Now there's like 5 of them none of them have the characters I want. The only one I'm kind of interested in is the one Mark Waid's doing. And even then, they're coming into a big-ass crossover where you got to buy every book, including a bunch of books that I'm not currently buying. And that's at issue 4. I'm like, you know what? That's it. I'm out of here. So I won't have any Avenger books on my list. I might read them later when they come up on Marvel Unlimited, but I'm not going to be buying them now. I would rather jump back and get the books, some independent books. I'd rather, like, Scarlet Witch, Hawkeye, you know, solo books. Just, you know, the team books have lost me. It's the same thing in the X-Men. They have a dozen X-Men books. None of them have the X-Men characters I'm interested in. The only X-Men I really give a flying hootie about is just Old Man Logan, just because I think it's kind of an interesting thing. But we'll see where they go with it. You know, I thought the Clone Saga was interesting too, and they killed that. So we'll see what Marvel does with that. And again, I'm not looking for a jumping off point, but there's just no jumping on points.
Now, Joe, are you being drawn in by Marvel's more non-traditional books, such as Ms. Marvel, Squirrel Girl, Howard the Duck, Drax the Destroyer, the stuff that's kind of a little outside the mainstream that is actually more marketed toward general readers? Is that drawing you in, or are you just
out of the titles you said, there was only one, I think, that I'm reading, Drax. Howard the Duck, I might buy in book form just because I enjoyed it. And again, that was a screwed up thing, too, because you did 5 issues, then you did this big Secret Wars thing, and now you're starting over with a number one, and you did the same thing with Squirrel Girl. That's a jumping off point, especially if you're not digging the book to begin with. Why didn't you just continue with number 6, especially with these off-brand ones? You know, Marvel gets these chubbies all the time. Oh, and DC, I'm looking at you two. Ooh, time for new number 1. Ah, sell lots of variants. Lots of variants. We like that.
That's racist.
Oh, no, it's Gruberish. You haven't met my partner. My old partner, Patty, I like a gold books. Ah, gold covers. Very valuable.
Does he always talk like that?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, when he got excited about these books, I mean, it was like, oh, there's a gold cover. Very nice. I like this. And he's white, so it's not really racist. But it's kind of the same thing. I'm waiting for him to come. Okay, we're coming back with the gold cover now. Ooh, an embossed. Yeah. Cardstock. I mean, forget it. Rebooting a book after 4 issues or 5 issues was stupid, you know?
That is, I don't even read comics, and I know that's stupid.
Well, one of the reasons that they do it sales-wise is for the last 10 years, it worked. A book would go, and there's what they call standard attrition, which is unless you do something big, a comic will lose about 1% to 2% of sales every month. Same creative team, same everything, just 1% to 2% a month going down. And it would hit a certain point, and they would go, well, we have to do something. They would either do a big event, such as killing Captain America, or a tie-in with whatever the big crossover is, or end it and start with the new number one. One of the things that I liked about that was if a creative team had completed their story and a new creative team would come on, they would do the new number one. To me, it was like, oh, okay, that's a reason to start. Jonathan Hickman has completed his run of the Fantastic Four. Now Matt Fraction is going to be writing it with Mark Bagley drawing it. Okay, it's a new volume because it's a whole new creative team. But anytime you use these gimmicks, eventually they wear out.
Well, it's kind of like Silver Surfer, same thing. Did you really have to start with a number one again? It's the same creative team. I'll be curious when the sales come out, did it make a difference? And, of course, it's always hard to figure because when you look at the sales figures, Corey, do they break down, okay, this is the amount of the regular cover we sold, here are the variant covers we sold, or is it just we sold this many copies without a breakdown of how many were real comics versus just, well, I had to order 500 the regular to get one of the special variant covers.
What they do, they take Diamond's Index number, times a certain amount that is a proprietary secret of ICV2.com to come up with the sales index, and everybody uses that.
So
it doesn't. Well, it doesn't break out the
individual
covers.
They've been guessing this since I owned a comic shop in the 90s.
Well, there
was
a difference.
Nobody really knows, since comic books have stopped being sent second class, how many comics are published except the individual company. So all these numbers that we're varying about and seeing are just best guesses. And they can scientifically explain them however they want.
Can you
They're
say
just
that again?
Still guesses. Probably not. I had a Hershey bar in my mouth.
Scientifically.
Oh, my God. I need more corn chips here.
Oh. That was my valuable contribution.
Thank you. We're glad you're back.
You're welcome.
There are two things about that. One, Capital City used to publish the actual numbers. They wouldn't do the index thing. Diamond did the index thing. And second, comic creators who've talked about this list have said that when you get to the top of the list, it's very accurate. As you get down lower, it is not as accurate.
Like smaller distributions?
Well, Brian Wood, who's done a ton of indie and self-published books, has said when he was doing DMZ at Vertigo that they were off by a couple thousand, which doesn't sound like much except for the fact that DMZ was said to have sold 16,000 copies.
So that's a pretty big margin of error.
Yep, it's a big margin of error. However, when I'm looking at the top 1,000, number one is Star Wars number one, which sold 1,070,000. Marvel said that Star Wars number one sold just above 1 million copies.
Now, what I'm curious is how many were regular covers versus all the different variant covers?
I don't think we'll ever get that information.
So the other question, and this is something Hibbs hammers on occasionally, not in the column we were talking about, how many of these actually sold? Because these are always sold non-returnable to the retailers. So for Marvel and DC and Diamond, they can sit back, smack their lips, have their steak. Meanwhile, the guy down sitting at comic store level is wondering, should I really burn these extra copies and heat my store with them? Or, just throw them out?
Dump them. Dump them in the 50-cent bin.
Dump all right. The Star Wars in the trash.
Time to ask the Strode.
Uh-oh.
All right, Corey, there was a company...
Hold on, let me get my thinking helmet on.
All right, and let me grab a thinking grenade. Corey, back in the 90s, there was a company that said, number one sold good, we're only going to publish number ones. What company was that?
Oh, I remember that, too.
And I do. I cannot figure out which company that was.
I know they didn't last long.
No, they didn't.
But I don't remember the name.
I would want to say Moonstone, but I think Moonstone just did it. They didn't advertise that's how they were doing it. They just did it.
No, Moonstone was very different. Moonstone was this kind of a fly-by-night company that would pick up so-called licensed books, and then you'd find out that maybe they didn't pay the people they licensed, and they definitely did not pay the artists and writers for a while, until finally Diamond said, what the hell was that?
I just had something sell on eBay, but continue. I'll check and see what it was.
I thought I heard a cash register.
Yeah.
Moonstone got in a lot of trouble because they weren't paying people. They now pay people, and they now, because they got found out, pay the license fees. But they are a tiny, tiny little publisher that kind of exists off using pulp characters. And one of their writers has been at our convention for years, and he says that he sells twice as many books at conventions than he does through Diamond. And that's how they stay afloat. The creators buy the books and sell them at conventions.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
No, it's not, but it puts the burden of sales on the creator, and there's a part of me that thinks, well, then why are you going through a publisher?
Well, that's true. I would just deal with it all myself, but I mean, plus, you know, I like shows, but I wouldn't want to, like, completely rely on them.
Well, I interviewed the publisher of Devil's Due, and he said it's you've got to use everything. Diamond is just one of your outlets for selling books. There's also online. There's also conventions. There's also mail order. There's also creating merch. And a lot of these small publishers make their money off merch, such as Chaos Comics in the 90s. At one point, they were making more off selling merch of Lady Death and Chastity and all their other horror characters.
You mean all the TNA characters?
Oh, Evil Ernie sold stuff too. But they made more money with shot glasses and T-shirts and lunch boxes and everything than they did off the comics. They weren't all TNA, just most.
Yeah, I've seen Lady Death.
Hey, when she was published by CrossGen, she had a major boob reduction and was down to a C-cup. Then she went over to Avatar and they were bigger in her head again.
I never understand why a lady gets powers and she just takes off all her clothes.
When will you be getting powers?
Never.
Maybe you should try that at a convention.
No.
Moving on. Looking at the top 1,000 comics, Joe, I'm going to give you the top 10 selling comics of the year.
Walking Dead, Walking Dead, Walking Dead, some manga we never heard of, Walking Dead, and
Saga.
Star Wars. Oh,
no.
Saga should be there. Probably isn't.
That's trade paperbacks.
Oh.
Number one was Star Wars, which we mentioned. Number two was Secret Wars, which sold 500,000 copies. Number three was Bravest Warriors, Tales of Hollow John, which sold 500,000 copies. And when that was on the top of the charts, Joe and I both said the exact same thing. What? The next one, number four, is Orphan Black, which sold 500,000 copies, which was a comic based on the TV show. Then Dark Knight 3, number one, sold 450,000 copies. Star Wars Vader Down sold about 400,000 copies. Darth Vader sold 300,000
copies. Whoa, 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 whoa. Did you just say Vader Down?
Yeah.
Vader Down.
Like a real title they put on a thing?
Yep.
Yes.
Fuck Star Wars.
Number eight was Spider-Gwen, number one.
He got better, so don't worry.
I wasn't worried.
Spider-Gwen number one with 275,000 copies. Invincible Iron Man number one with 275,000 copies. And Princess Leia number one with 265,000 copies. Joe, what's the first thing you notice about the top 10?
They had a shitload of variants.
You know the first thing I noticed about the top 10?
They're like all fucking Star Wars?
Boy, there's a shit ton of Star Wars and a shit ton of Marvel.
Yep. Marvel and wins, Disney wins, all hail the mouse.
And the three non-Marvel books, one was a huge event from DC that they spent a ton of money promoting as a Frank Miller comes back to Batman comic. The Bravest Warriors book and the Orphan Black book were both books that were picked up by Loot Crate. Now, if you look at the sales for Orphan Black number two, guess what they are, Joe?
Nothing?
20.
12,000 copies.
That was close. There was a 2 in it.
So they just bought an assload of them for a Loot Crate?
Yep. Same with Bravest Warriors, Tales of Hollow John, number one. I couldn't even find the third and fourth issues on the sales charts.
That's funny.
So there's a Loot Crate effect. But the thing is, it's not driving people to buy the rest of the comics. So if you're a publisher, it's like a one-shot payday, and that's it.
And if you created that shit, you want to eat a bullet.
Both of those are licensed books.
Oh, okay.
So if you created that shit, you don't care because you're working in a movie or a TV, you know, you're working outside the comics medium.
No, some poor bastard still had to draw that.
Well, yeah, but they got a nice payday.
I guess.
You go down that list, DC does not show up again until number 30 with Dark Knight 3 Master Race number 2. And then Batman number 40 shows up at number 33 with 155,000.
Master Race?
Yes.
I can tell you who it is, but there's spoilers attached to it.
And it makes sense if you've read the Frank Miller Dark Knight stuff, because, well, we'll spoil
it. When did comic titles become like clickbait shit?
Always. They've always been clickbait shit. You look at Marvel covers in the 70s, and they would have these word balloons jumping out at you. You will not believe the surprise supervillain who appears in this issue.
Yeah, the next title of my book is just going to be You Won't Believe What This Artist Drew. It'll be shrink-wrapped.
Hey, now you're getting the hang of it.
See?
Just printing fucking money.
Variant covers. You need variant covers.
I will just leave the face blank and get my Sharpie and draw a different face on each issue.
Well, there's that
actually,
too.
They've
but
done
you...
that.
Yes. There are blank covers, and as I've said, if you're a comic artist and you're not buying a ton of those and setting up at a convention and charging $20-$30, hey, yeah, I've got this blank cover comic. I'll put a sketch on it for you, $30. I can't tell you how many artists I know who are they go to conventions, they make huge bank off doing that.
I can't do that.
Well, you don't know that.
I can't do that. I know.
It could you buy you a whole bunch of blank Star Wars comics and you can
I'm
just
draw
pictures
giant
of you.
Penises on all of them.
Actually, I thought pictures of you shredding Star Wars stuff.
No, that's too complicated. I'm just drawing penises and saying they're Darth Vader. Same difference. Looks alike.
But with the variant covers, hey, if you buy 10 of my book, I'll give you this variant cover that you can buy. Well, can't I just buy the variant cover by itself? No, you have to buy 10 of the book. Uh-oh, Joe dropped again.
Are you going to leave some of that in?
Yes. What are we... Joe, what are you, in fucking Alaska again?
Maybe he finally gave up.
Well, if he does, we'll just carry on. You want the shows to be shorter anyway.
I must be channeling Joe, because when you said that, I instantly had the urge to sing Carry On, My Wayward Son. I heard it in my head and it almost came out of my mouth, but the I Don't Sing drive overrode it just in time. So instead I heard it in Joe's voice.
Well, I'm sorry for that. Well, Joe seems to have vanished.
Yay! Everything is going according to plan.
Jin comes back and she gets rid of Joe. Is that your plan all along? You were trying to take Joe's place. Here I thought you guys were trying to get rid of me.
I'm throwing horns right now.
Oh, okay. I have no idea what that means.
It's that little thing you do with your fingers. It's like, fuck yeah.
Oh, you mean like the metal thing?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wait, you're in league with dark forces and you didn't clue me
in? Dude, my name is fucking Jin Wicked.
Yeah, I thought it was just, you know, because you're kind of, you know, snotty and sarcastic.
Snotty?
See, right there, snotty and sarcastic.
We're talking about comic books or something?
Yeah, we were talking about comic books, and now that Joe's not here, normally we would go into, because Joe wanted to talk about why the Fantastic Four was canceled and isn't coming back for a while, but you don't care about that, so instead...
Fantastic Four is a thing I have heard of.
It is a comic that started the Marvel... Basically, it started Marvel, and it was ended about a year ago, and Secret Wars, we find out at the end that Secret Wars was kind of the last Fantastic Four story, and it wrapped up all these plot lines that the writer Jonathan Hickman had actually started way back 6 years ago.
In the olden times.
In the olden times, when Marvel still published the Ultimate Universe, he actually started the plot line then. And because he's such a good writer, you didn't realize that he was doing all of this until the end, where it's, oh, all of this stuff he's written for 6 years has all tied together into this. And the Fantastic Four comic, now two of the members of the Fantastic Four are no longer, quote, in-universe, unquote. And the Human Torch is in the Inhumans comic, and the Thing is in the Guardians of the Galaxy comic. And there are people online who are, oh, the Fantastic Four, Marvel got rid of them because of the deal with Fox, and it's terrible and it's bad. And there's a sales reason why the Fantastic Four has not come back. And the simple sales reason is, for the last 10 years, no matter what they have done, the needle has not budged on the Fantastic Four sales-wise. They brought in Mark Waid, and nobody loves the Fantastic Four more than Mark Waid. He's a guy who jumps on a book and can make it sell. Sales stayed the same. When that didn't work, they brought in Mark Miller and Brian Hitch, who had done the Ultimates in the Ultimate Universe. That book sold 150,000 copies a month every time they put it out. Brian Hitch, one of the big artists in comics. They come over the Fantastic Four, 45,000. That's it. Didn't go up from Mark Waid. They bring in J. Michael Straczynski. Once again, big name creator. Sales didn't move. They bring in Jonathan Hickman. Sales don't move. Matt Fraction and Mark Bagley. Sales don't move. And in my opinion, what it is the Fantastic Four has the people who are going to buy it, but other fans are like, oh, the Fantastic Four, that book's 50 years old, it's not cool, it's not this, it's always going to be the same stories. They're not even going to try it, no matter who comes on it. What Marvel has to do is kind of put it aside for a while, let it rest, and build up demand.
You think that'll happen, though, or will people just forget entirely?
I don't think people will forget entirely, because it's what they did with Thor. Thor was the same thing. No matter who they put on it, the sales were flat. They let it sit for about 4 years. They let every creator throw pitches at them. They grabbed the pitch they liked the best, brought the book back, and then Thor got so big that it became a top 10 book. It's now one of Marvel's higher selling books.
And now he's a lady.
Yes, and it's a great story. Absolutely great story.
I'll never know.
Well, probably not. But I think if you let a property rest, when you bring it back, there's demand for it. The X-Files started yesterday.
Oh, I saw on my Facebook. Did you see? I don't know. I guess they're like variant covers or something, but someone did Gustav Klimt's The Kiss with Mulder and Scully.
Yes, I've seen that.
That was just... Oh, that's so, like, wonderful. So nice. I was like, I wasn't expecting that, and I found it in my news feed and was like, holy shit, this is awesome.
But the last X-Files movie flopped. I imagine this six-episode X-Files thing, it's been away long enough that people are hungry for it again.
The TV show?
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
And the comic does okay. One of the things that when the comic started that kind of makes me laugh now is the comic, supposedly, Chris Carter is involved in the plotting. Well, now the TV show has started, and somebody asked Chris Carter in an interview, so does this tie in with the comic book? And he said, no, they do their own thing. I have nothing to do with that.
Yeah, they're a different continuity.
Yeah, but at the beginning they said Chris Carter was the one who was plotting it. And now he says, no, I have nothing to do with that.
Well, they had an X-Files comic, like, forever ago. Is this,
yep,
like, have anything to do with the other one, or is it something completely different?
It is something completely different. What they did with the X-Files comic that's being done now, they're doing it as seasons. So the first run was season 10. They are now doing season 11. So it continues from the TV show. And the reason they do that is because Buffy was very successful when Dark Horse did kind of a, okay, we've been publishing Buffy comics for years and years and years. Well, now let's bring in Joss Whedon. Let's bring in some of the writers from the show and tell them, do what you would do if you had an unlimited budget for season 8 of Buffy. Sold really well. They did season 9. Now they're in season 10. They've done that with other TV shows. They did it with Jericho. The problem was the publisher was terrible and never had money. So, the 6-issue miniseries took 3 years to finish. So by the last issue, no one cared.
I've seen some of the X-Files pages. Like, the art looks great. That's all I have to contribute, if something looks good or not.
The stories are actually really good. The guy who writes it, Joe Harris, much like the X-Files comic from the 90s, he's not doing standard comic book stuff. He's doing kind of weird experimental things, which is what draws me to X-Files comics.
Right, I wouldn't expect it to be, like, just typical.
Joe says he is back, so let's try and bring him on.
Is Joe ever really back?
Well, we'll find out, won't we?
Is he ever really here?
Yeah, he eats. He makes terrible jokes.
I poop.
It's kind of a philosophical question.
He sings.
I can sing!
Can you sing Carry On My Wayward Son?
Carry on my wayward son. No.
There you go.
Okay. We were actually discussing the X-Files coming back.
Ooh,
and
my wife's
Joe's kind of
excited
a
about it. No, not really. My wife is. I got dragged along for the ride. I enjoyed the conspiracy stuff. The Monsters of the Week, I wasn't all that keen on.
See, that's kind of how I was. And I know a lot of people that like the Monster of the Week episodes better. But I was always like, man, I got to know what's up with those guys with, like, the black shit in their eyes. Or, you know, like the guy punching.
Just incredibly outrageous. And you're like, oh, okay. No, and then the next week is like, nothing.
Or what was his name? Khrushchev? Like, is he ever really dead? Yeah, the Russian guy.
Fires, there was always somebody doing
something. Cigarette-smoking man.
And Grant, don't get me wrong, there were a few that I enjoyed. I mean, I enjoyed the one where Charles Nelson Reilly was in it, because Jesse Ventura was in that one, too, the Men in Black. We just watched...
And Alex Trebek.
We watched the one that Bruce Campbell was in, which I enjoyed, because when I first saw it, I didn't even recognize it was him until, like, halfway through it dawned on me, hi, this is Bruce Campbell. So some of them are good.
We were rewatching. I didn't watch all of it because I just don't have the patience. But I sat down like it would be on, and I'd sit down and watch part of it. We rewatched like the whole series from start to finish because I guess it's on like Netflix or whatever, Hulu. I don't know. It was good. I had a lot of. It seems so like mind blowing at the time, and you're watching some of it, and you're like, "Ooh, some of this looks pretty hokey in like retrospect." But you know, or looking at it now, and after you've been through shows like Breaking Bad, it's like, "Ooh, some of this was kind of cheesy," but you know, I mean, a lot of it still holds up.
My problem with the series, and I could probably tell you exactly when I lost interest, was when they finally revealed the big conspiracy. And it didn't explain much of anything, and it really didn't fit a lot of what they'd said, and then they didn't have a second act. They didn't know what to do after it.
I didn't really care for it after they had originally replaced Mulder, and then they kind of replaced Scully, too. And
yeah,
so you had the not Mulder
terrible.
And not Scully. Agent Doggett, and I can't even remember the female agent's name. But there was a lot of, like, fake drama with that, and I think the show really suffered, and I don't think when they got them back, like, it was ever really the same. That was also when I quit watching the reruns.
And it's really too bad, too, because people got all hung up because, what's his name? Fox isn't on it, Scully's isn't on it, but they had it. Yeah, the audience dropped. But it was for a Fox show. It was still pretty respectable. They could have continued it without them. You know, you could have had it just going on with new people.
I think that the conspiracy theory and the backstory got so convoluted, they didn't really know what to do with it anymore.
No, he'll admit that, too. I mean, it came around by accident because, what's her name? I can't think of the actress's name. Scully got pregnant.
Jillian Anderson.
Thank you.
And she had a baby in the show, yeah.
Yeah, they had to figure out a way to write her out of the episode, so she got kidnapped. And that's what started the whole conspiracy thing, and that's when the ratings went up, because it really wasn't doing that great until then. I mean, the cigarette-smoking man was just supposed to be a guy in the background, not a big part of a mythology. But it worked out so wonderfully when they kept it going. But again, could any answer satisfy anybody? You made the conspiracy so grand anytime you gave an answer. Like, was the last, I can't remember the episode where they did explain about Mulder's sister.
Yeah.
Yes, she did get away, and she's off in some fairyland, if you buy that as an explanation.
Well, they had, like, three different episodes where they supposedly explained that, too, if I remember correctly.
And then towards the end, they kill off the lone gunman. I don't know. And the interesting one about this upcoming one is they say, oh, the cigarette smoking man's back. Well, that'll be interesting because the actor passed away, so we'll see how that works.
I was so into that show in its original run. I think it was about the third season that I started watching it. And I actually remember, like me of the terrible memory, I actually remember the day the show finale aired. I was working in retail at the time and was closing that day. And at the time, it aired on Sunday evenings. So I'm like, I have to leave as soon as the store closes to get home in time to make sure I don't miss this. Because we didn't have, like, the VCR we had a VCR, but nobody knew how to use it. And it was before before the days of, like, just DVR or time shift or watch it on the internet or whatever. And so I rushed home to watch the show. I turned out all the lights. I got my drink and snack or whatever the fuck. And my asshole manager, who was still at the store, I guess must have had a TV on or watching his watch or whatever. He actually called me while the show was starting, and one of my parents answered the phone and asked to talk to me so he could laugh at me because he interrupted the start of the show with a phone call. So, fuck that guy. These are the things I actually remember.
You know who won't interrupt you when you're watching your favorite show?
Not your sponsors.
That's right. These guys, our sponsors.
Like all podcasts, this one has ads. And you know our sponsors. You love our sponsors. We love our sponsors. And sponsor number one is DreamHost.com. DreamHost.com has been with us since day one. And you need a website. Of course you need a website. And if you need a website, go to DreamHost.com. They are the best, bar none, web hosts in the whole known universe. And if you head over there and use the code KRAYZ, K-R-A-Y-Z, you get $20 off your first year. Our second sponsor is Graze.com. I use Graze.com because I want to make sure that when I'm at work, I'm not eating out of the vending machine. I'm eating healthy snacks that I get to choose. And you could choose yours too. Just head to Graze.com, put in the code CORYS3R5P, and your first and fifth boxes are free. Healthy snacks delivered to your door as often as you'd like. Our final sponsor is Bombas Socks. That's Bombas. And if you go to bombas.gotocloud.org/SF50, you'll get a discount. But that's not all you're going to get. You're going to get that warm feeling of your heart in helping other people. Because for every pair of socks you buy, they donate a pair of socks to a crisis or homeless shelter. The number one requested item at homeless shelters is socks. These guys know it. They put out a good product, and they're trying to help people. You can help people, too, and get great socks. If you would like to support us, you can. Just go to iTunes, go to Stitcher, go to your friends, go to the interwebs, go to Facebook, share the link, review the podcast, let people know what you think. The way a podcast grows is by word of mouth, and we're counting on you guys for word of mouth. If you would like to contact us, you could do so at solitarerosenetworks@gmail.com, or you could give us a call. Our number is 952-856-0519. Thanks.
And after we do our sponsors, Joe is going to talk about the eBay. Joe, what you doing on the eBays?
It's time to bring back a segment of the show that we haven't done in years.
Uh-oh.
It is Name That Obscure Character.
Oh, good.
And Corey might know this one right away. Corey, who is...
Jen, you could play too. Oh, wait.
Well, not really.
I can play.
You can. Okay, who is Hamir? H-A-M-I-R.
I don't know.
Hamir the Hermit.
Hmm.
Clue number one, he's in the Marvel Universe.
Gosh, I'm having H-A-M-I-R... Is he one of the Celestials?
He's only made 28 appearances, at least on Earth 616.
So he's not one of the Celestials.
No.
Because that sounds very much like a Kirby name.
Yeah, well, Ditko, maybe.
He was the Ancient One's Wong.
Correct. Ymir was the ancient attendant to the Ancient One. They really didn't say much about him. He was once controlled by Baron Mordu to poison the Ancient One. He watched over him.
Yes, great Ditko story that probably one of the best stories of Marvel Silver Age with Doctor Strange versus Dormammu with Baron Mordu coming in and out of the story, and it lasted like over 2 years.
See, and the reason why I came across this character was because up on that there eBay, which you can find either by going to Solitaire Rose Network or just type in Crazy, K-R-A-Y-Z, I have a bunch of Doctor Who and Strange
Doctor
Tales.
Strange.
Well, actually,
oh, okay.
who I'm coming to. But there's a Doctor Who on there. But no, Doctor Strange from Strange Tales. And also when it converted from a Strange Tales and they started his own numbering.
Oof, those are some horrible comics.
Yeah, but he showed up in one of them. And they're not in great shape. I mean, they're very good to fine. I think one might be in very fine shape. So if you're interested, get up there, check them out. I did a quick inventory. Most of the things I sell on eBay, I get best offers for. So if you go there and you say you see something and you're like, holy cow, that's a little higher price than I want, maybe if you feel like, send me an offer. And, of course, it doesn't hurt to tell me you're one of this here podcast listeners, because not only will I do something nice, like take something out of my vast accumulation of crap, except the corn chips. Corn chips are mine.
Jen,
huh?
What are you selling on your sites lately?
Huh? I don't have a lot for sale right now. You can actually use the coupon code NEWYEAR16 and get 50 off all my original artwork, like my comic artwork, if you've read my comics. My page is jinwicked.etsy.com. I don't use eBay, so.
Now, are you going to be starting up the Sharpie sketches again soon?
Yeah, I will be. Actually, I was thinking about that today. I have a couple other things I want to knock out first. Actually, what I'm about to be selling, I've been working on cranking out some new Happy Rat paintings. So most of these are actually the rats on an abstract background. I get slightly drunk and paint abstracts. I actually can't do them sober. I'm so bad about overthinking things. So I get just a little tipsy, you know, not drunk. And I'm able to just reach a nice kind of chill state, and I paint abstracts, and I'll crank out a few of those and then paint the rats over them. So you can also request one if you want a rat in certain colors. You can message me through Etsy or Facebook or whatever.
And there's also your Patreon site, which we have in the show notes. Where are you? What is the next reward? If a whole bunch of people just join up, what is the next reward they're going to get?
I don't know. I mean, it says on the page, like, I'll do, like, certain numbers of comics a week, but anybody who knows me knows that's probably not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
But, I mean, they're just, you know, I mean, you're really, like, buying into the whole, like, Jin persona. I mean, you're just, like, I'm gonna do my thing. Like, it may not be comics, but I'm going to make awesome stuff regardless. And now that the Christmas nightmare is over, I've been working on some artwork again, so I'm going to get back into it. I really like doing the rewards, though. I mean, I'm more about, like, the rewards. Like, if you support me at the $10 or $25 level, like, I'll actually draw stuff for you. And those are the ones I like doing, because, I mean, you get something customized just for you. It's not, you know, it's not like, oh, I'm going to do this or do that. I'm working on trying to finish one of my comics and put together a real book right now, so that's kind of my primary concern.
And here at the Solitaire Rose Radio Network, we have started the weekly news update again. Every Tuesday, you will get a 10 to 15 minute news parody where you may learn something too, but it's a revival of something I did for about 10 years back in the late 90s and early 2000s.
That's how I met
Corey. Yeah. Really?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Then it was worth it all the long.
I don't remember, like, how I ended up getting your news thing? I don't remember, like, how I...
I do.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. If you would like, I could tell the story.
Is it embarrassing?
Story time.
No.
Then tell away.
All right. I started doing
hang
this
on,
in
hang
19...
On. Hang on. I gotta get my corn chips. Okay, go on.
Nah. I started doing it in 1996 because I saw a news story where one of Bill Clinton's advisors had gotten Al Gore's speech at the Democratic Convention 2 days early and read it to a prostitute to impress her. And I could not stop laughing about the fact that someone thought that Al Gore would impress a prostitute, let alone that you would have to impress a prostitute. And I started, you know, sending emails out to some of my friends at work and other people I knew, and it started growing and growing and growing. And one of the guys at Joe's shop was on the list. His name was Scott Gallatin. Mad Scott. If you go out on the interwebs, he's got a comics. He does comics. He does art. He's at every convention here in the Twin Cities. He was on a Poison Elves mailing list. And he sent it to the people on that list. Jin and one of her friends really liked the joke I made about being served tea by a redhead in a corset.
I could see how it would appeal to me.
And she emailed me to get on the list and then started asking me questions about stuff. And then she told me I needed to download this program called ICQ.
I remember none of this.
I remember all of it.
You remember everything.
I remember the dates.
You're weird.
I am. And she told me to download this program called ICQ. And it was the first time I had done internet chat since Genie had died. Because
what? Genie died?
He just dated
himself.
Aww,
I dream of Genie.
Oh, don't worry. I could date myself even further.
Left hand or right hand?
Well, I got on Genie with a Commodore 128 that Joe sold me.
Yep.
And we started talking and found out that we had a lot in common. We enjoyed talking to each other, and we began a friendship that is one of the closest friendships in the world to me. And if nothing else, even if I didn't have the two NPR pilots, even if I didn't build up a mailing list of over 400 people.
Way to toot your own horn there, man.
Don't worry. I haven't even started tooting my own horn yet. If I wasn't selling jokes to stand-up comedians. If I wasn't selling jokes to stand-up comedians from it, it would all be worth it because it's how I met Jen.
Barf.
Freaking and geeking. Joe, what are you freaking on this week?
Oh, that story made me touch claw. I didn't win the lottery.
The Powerball.
Yeah, I ain't talking the big-ass one. I knew I wasn't going to win that. I'm talking about the one yesterday, 2 days ago, Saturday night. I figure if I ain't going to win the billion-dollar one, maybe I'll just win a paltry $40 million. Nope, didn't win.
just you know, I'm sorry, $40 million's not even worth it.
Barely worth getting out of bed. It's too freaking cold to go get another power ticket.
It's too freaking cold to do anything.
Who the hell is writing this year's Death Pool? Is George R. R. Martin on it? Every time I turn around, somebody's dead. I mean, like today, Glenn Frey died. I mean, just bam,
well,
bam.
You know why Glenn Frey died, right?
That's because he had RA and died of complications from it.
No,
you think
somebody
I wouldn't
gave,
notice that shit? What?
Somebody gave the dude a death note.
Ooh.
Dude, I'm very upset about David Bowie dying.
That's not even metal. And the other thing that's crazy, too, is people... Oh, Ned Funicella died. Bob Denver died. Yes, years ago. Folks, check this shit out on Wikipedia before you post it. Don't mean...
Or click on the link.
Again. Oh, yeah,
click,
see the
click
date
on the
it.
Link before you share it.
That works with almost any article. I mean, there's a bunch being recirculated now about something Hillary did or something Trump said, and you look at it and you're from like 2012 or something. Or worse, never even said. And my computer's dying. That's pretty much me. Jin, what you freaking on?
It's fucking cold.
I'm talking about summertime outside. Beautiful.
Like, I mean, like, I
run
get
outside,
it.
Run outside. Let the girls free. Man, you'd be invigorating.
I'm actually...
cut glass with those.
Are you going to shut up or what?
No.
No.
It's my turn. My turn. Oh, I know you. I know you're used to me being gone, but it's my turn.
I got. It was kind of lonely.
Shove your mouth and stop talking.
Sit back and eat chips and listen to you.
Okay, like I understand. Like I'm already kind of acclimated to it, because you know it got really cold and then it warmed up a little bit and now it's cold again and it's like, oh man, it's gonna be 20 on Friday. I go outside and I don't need the heavy coat. So before I left Houston, my father-in-law works for a company that would send him around. He went to Russia at one point, but he spent several months in Calgary. So he bought this big Eddie Bauer parka with this big thick hood and it's got fake fur around it. And I mean, like the 2/3 of my body this coat covers is incredibly warm. But it's cartoonishly big. It's like a men's large, and that fit me at one point, but I wear like maybe a small now, but I have this humongous coat. So I feel like the kid from a Christmas Story when his mom bundles him up and he can't put his arms down because the coat's so big. It's so warm, I don't give a shit. But like I mentioned earlier, like I'm actually having to like, oh, the truck is not happy, you know? So last night, I've acclimated it to the point that at one point last week it was a little bit warmer. Like I only needed the kind of heavy coat instead of the heavy, heavy coat. And a friend of mine decided, you know what we really need today? Frosties. So I went to Wendy's and bought a couple of Frosties when, you know, I can like, I roll down the window to get the Frosties and you can see your breath, you know, coming out and you can see all the exhaust from the cars. I was like, this is what I need today. Ice cream. And it was seriously delicious. Like, I don't even get Frosties normally. I would rather have something from like Dairy Queen, but
yes.
But I ate the Frosty. It was delicious, and I was looking at the cup, and I thought I had this idea that I was going to fill the cup with snow and put chocolate sauce on it and make an image macro out of it.
Minnesota Sunday.
It says homemade Frosty, nailed it, and it's just some chocolate syrup with the spoon stuck in the snow. So
I'd cap that.
So my friend actually bought me a bottle of chocolate syrup to encourage me to do this, which was very funny in my head. So I went outside to do this when I got home last night, and I went in my kitchen, I washed the cup out, and I got everything ready. I had a little measuring cup to use as a scoop to get the snow. I opened the bottle of syrup. I got everything ready. I got the camera set up, the flash set up, everything, because I didn't want to be outside any longer than I had to. And in
you
the
sound
like
cold, just saying that story.
My voice is giving out a little bit. And in the 5 minutes that it took me, like this is it, like 7 PM. It's pretty dark. In the 5 minutes it took me to fill a cup with snow, squirt some chocolate sauce on it, and take a couple of pictures, by the time I got inside, my fingers were red, and I couldn't feel anything. I had on the gloves with no fingers, because that's what I usually wear. I told my friends about this earlier today, and they said, Jen, that's frostbite. Oh, that happens. If you do that long enough,
10 minutes.
It will turn gangrenous and fall off. Oh.
Please do not lose your fingers.
That would be a problem for me.
Well, actually, so, that might open up a new style of artistry. You could paint with your breasts.
Like,
oh, God.
I was going to say stump painting, but thank you.
Ooh, I like that even better. Because I've seen breast painting before, but stump painting's new.
I'm sure somebody's done it. I know there's,
you know what you could do? Get like an attachment and put something different on every hand, you know, like Captain Hook would, like take the hook off, put on a brush, take
it
off,
do,
put
Joe?
On a marker.
You can shut up.
And corn chips.
Corey, what are you freaking on?
First, you talked about David Bowie passing. A lot of celebrities have passed early this
year. Oh, my God, Alan Rickman.
But I would like people to think back to when Lemmy from Motorhead passed. And then think about Lemmy from Motorhead and learn a little about him. Not only was he an atheist, but he often talked about how when he died, he would be very happy that there would be nothing. For the love of all that is holy.
What did I tell you about shouting in the microphone?
Quit putting him in cartoons where he's in heaven.
Corey, I don't think he cares. He's dead.
But it's disrespectful.
No, it isn't. He's
it's
dead.
Annoying. Yeah, but why are okay, let's say I take a prominent Christian. And I do a cartoon where he's not in heaven. No, he's in hell.
Oh, that's
people would
probably,
be upset.
That's probably true life.
But people would be upset. Honor the man's wishes, okay?
He's dead.
Right?
What do you
Please?
Care? That's the whole point of it. Nothing.
Do you really think like these
the
cartoonists like know anything about it? Like, oh, celebrity
no.
died, and they pull out the background they've already drawn of St. Peter with the gates, and they just and they just paste
in
the new celebrity. I'm serious. Like, I have Daryl Cagle on my newsfeed. I follow a lot of cartoonists of all different stripes, and I like his work. I'm not bagging on him at all. But he literally, like, has a formula. Like he has, like, I've seen in some threads on a message board, he's done these comics where, like, there's two politicians on either side, and there's, like, a crowd of media either running to one side or running to the other. And he literally just, like, either traces or cut and pastes the media people and just puts in, like, the other characters. So, I mean, it's highly unlikely that these cartoonists are even drawing things from scratch. They're just pulling out their, oh, celebrity died, or famous person died, or politician died, and here's the clouds, and St. Peter standing there looking slightly disgruntled, and let me draw something relevant in his hand, and put in a witty remark, and hot damn, paycheck.
Second thing I'm freaking on is when people poo-poo my freakings when I don't do that to them.
You're invited to.
Number three, I read Uncanny X-Men number one, Joe. Good book. Really liked it. You know what I learned from reading that book? No new mutants are being created. We went through this already.
Yeah, but there's actually an organic reason for it, which is more interesting than just no more mutants.
I don't care. We've done that story already.
Let's see where they go with it.
And then DC, you know what DC announced with their solicitations this week? You know what event they're going to be redoing?
Do you think they follow DC?
What fabulous idea they're pulling out from the past? Bloodlines. Joe, do you remember Bloodlines? Aliens came down, sucked the blood out of people, and it gave some of them superpowers.
The only good thing out of that was Hitman. Not the Bloodline
right.
Hitman, but the series that came afterwards.
I think they've run out of good events to redo. And now they're like, okay, what shit did nobody like? Let's do that again. Because we haven't pissed off the readers enough. Let's go. Hey. You know that Spider-Clone saga? Fuck it. Let's do that again.
Civil War 2.
But people like that.
What the matter? Why bother? Why don't you come up with something new? Secret Wars 3 next year. Deathmate 2. Oh, my cartoon.
He's going to puke. He's going to puke.
I hate it when you say that.
It's a reference.
I don't care. I still hate it.
And guess what? Somebody even mentioned it on Joe's Facebook page this week without me saying it first. Joe, what are you geeking on? What are you loving?
My favorite new website. Christwire.org. Now, if you pardon me while I try to get my computer to work one last time.
Uh-oh.
Christwire.org is apparently so far right. I pray to God it's real, because otherwise it's better than The Onion. Today's headline, Obama is infecting Christians with Ebola to destroy Jesus and start a new age of liberal darkness.
Oh, I saw that. I think
last
that's a
week.
Parody.
Oh, yes.
This is satire.
Oh. I hope so, because if it wasn't, I was like, for a while, just believing it was real was more entertaining than thinking it was a parody.
There's this thing, so I think fun. It's called Poe's Law, where you can no longer distinguish satire from real life.
I know, it's getting that way. It's just crazy. Christian crusader Sarah Palin is officially running for president in 2016. We'll destroy Obama's liberal utopia. And, of course, this one off the news desk. Is it okay for a white Christian cop to gently beat his black citizens? I'm telling you, I hope this is satire. Is that Eric Sharpton fondling Eric Holder? It's just fun. Comic-wise, if I can coax my poor computer to work a little bit more.
Let's not hold our breath on
that. Yeah. Folks, please, eBay is the only way I'm going to continue this podcast because I need a new computer. I scored something. I don't normally brag when I find something at like Half Price Books or a comic store or something, but this one even I had to brag to Corey about.
I got so mad.
A copy of Canon by Wallace Wood. Canon, if I recall, was a Cold War strip, an explosion of sex and violence. John Canon, programmed to be the perfect assassin and working as a covert operative, is the all-American hero who makes James Bond look like a milquetoast. Comic legend Wallace Wood, Wally for the friends of him, pulled out all the stops for these strips. They were produced as entertainment for Our Men in Uniform. The volume included Canon's two-fisted comic book adventures, penciled by the one and only Didgo. It was by Fangraphic Books, long out of print, and I got it for slightly under half price. And I was surprised to see it, because it was just one of those days when I was out just geeking around, kind of numb to the world, and I was like, you know, Canon, Wallace Wood, Wallace. Wally? Oh, yes!
It was Wally Wood. Basically, the military was paying him, and they said, do whatever you want.
Whatever you want. Oh, and he does.
It's sex and violence, nudity, and because Wally was being paid well, he took time on the pages. One of the things about Wally Wood is if he cared about a job, the art would be beautiful. His stuff in Wits End, his stuff for Tower Comics, the Thunder Agent stuff, his EC stuff, his stuff for Mad, his real early work at Marvel. If he wasn't being paid well, Wally Wood was very famous for saying, it's better to swipe than to draw. It's better to copy than to swipe. And it's better to paste than. And you
don't
can look
draw
at
what
stuff.
You can trace. Don't trace what you can paste up.
That's it.
And draw the fuck out of what's left.
Yep. And if you look at his work at DC toward the end of his life, you could tell he was just cutting and pasting and the same poses, and maybe he would draw the costume on, or maybe he'd just fucking leave that for the inker, because screw them, they're getting paid, and they can do some work too. He would hand out work to assistants. Some of his assistants are some of the greatest people who worked in comics. Dan Atkins, Larry Hama. But Wally Wood is one of those guys. When he cared about a job, the art is phenomenal. And from what I've seen of Canon, the art is top-notch Wally Wood. Just, I'm so jealous of you.
Awkward silence.
That's where Joe's supposed to pass it on to you. If he is still there.
No, I'm not done yet. I was just going to say I'll borrow you my Canon book since you borrowed me your big old copy of Monster Society of Evil.
Okay.
So, anyways, Comics Red, we talked earlier, Dark Knight, The Master Race, Book 2. Did you, that was when my computer faded out. Did you explain to lovely Jen who the Master Race is?
No, I did not. Jen, would you like me to explain who the Master Race is?
Nope.
Okay. Joe, shall I explain to the listeners?
Nope. But okay. I read number 2. You'll figure it out and read it the right way. Read the comic and then go back and read the Ashcan insert, and it works a little better. We didn't do any reviews this time around because we had technical difficulties, so I'll give you a couple bucket reviews of number 1s that I recently read. From Batman and IDW, Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, I enjoyed the heck out of this. It's going to be a lot of fun. Might be more fun in a book form, but I'm going to pick up as it goes along. Batman 66 meets The Man from U.N.C.L.E. I enjoyed it. I don't know a lot about The Man from U.N.C.L.E. That's what Wikipedia is for. If you like either property, this one's definitely one to pick up. Weird World number one was very weird. So I will probably stick with this one for a while. It's kind of interesting because Weird World is where lost things get found. So it will be interesting to see where they go with this one. The Totally Awesome Hulk by Pack and some hack named Frank Cho. Really enjoyed it. I wasn't sure at first if it was going to be the Hulk we all know and love, but it isn't. And I've actually enjoyed it. As long as they're on it, I'll probably stick with it. A couple I mentioned before, I think Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur, issue 2 is out. I read 1 and 2, enjoyed the heck out of it. Guardians of the Infinity, number 1. I don't know. This one might go the route of some of the other ones. I mean, you've already got Bendis doing Guardians of the Galaxy. I don't know if I'm... This is kind of like a Guardian team-up book. It does have the Guardians 3000, who we haven't seen since Secret War. So we'll see where that goes with it. But as I said, most of it, it looks like it's half story, and then there was an interesting team-up with Rocket Raccoon and the Thing at the bend. At the end of it. Star Trek Green Lantern, the Spectrum War, ended differently than I expected it to. I still didn't exactly enjoy it because, again, like I said, the Green Lanterns are so god-awfully powerful compared to a guy in a ship. But the way it ended, we will never have to see it again.
So, if you ignore it long enough, it will go away.
And the last thing I'm geeking on is all these Lemming cartoons where he's up in heaven, just enjoying the heck out of them. Chin, what are you geeking on?
I can't really remember. Like, I thought of something earlier in the day and I already forgot, but Facebook helpfully reminded me that Better Call Saul is coming back soon. I recently binge-watched all the episodes of that a couple months ago and really enjoyed it, actually, more than Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad was, I thought, like, kind of overhyped by the time I watched it. But I wasn't expecting, maybe I went into it with lower expectations, but I actually really enjoy the show. Like, Mike was always one of my favorite characters, so I'm pretty happy that that's coming back. I don't know when or where I'll be able to actually watch it, but yeah, that's all, I guess. Corey, what are you geeking on? I thought you already said it.
No.
Oh.
I'm always last.
Oh, okay.
Just, you know, just it's just like grade school. I'm always picked last.
It's been a while, all right?
The first thing is the third issue of The Vision has come out, and the book continues to get better. And I think we just lost Joe again.
That's okay. We're almost done.
Yes. Yes, hold on while we try to get Joe back.
He's just going to cause another distraction.
The thing about The Vision is that the story is low-key. It is not a superhero story. It's very much a story about an artificial intelligence dealing with being in the world. And the writer has done an excellent job of using laws of robotics that aren't like Isaac Asimov's to sort of give a different idea, not just of how artificial intelligence would interact with people, but how people would react to artificial intelligence. The art is very clean. It's... Okay, Joe's back, and he's brought a whole ton of noise.
You know, I'm in a death struggle with my computer to have it survive just to the end of this freaking podcast.
All right, so the art is very clean. It's very story-driven. It is not flashy at all. But as each issue goes along, I become more and more impressed with the art. And if you are not a Marvel Comics fan, if you're not a superhero fan, this is a book you are going to want to try. It's excellently done, and I can't praise it enough. I read the first issue of Uncanny X-Men. A lot of the X-Men books, to me, much like Joe, there's too many of them. I can't keep track, and they don't all seem to have a reason. Uncanny X-Men are the villains, Magneto, Sabretooth, Monet, and I read the first issue. I didn't hate Greg Land's art like I normally do, because normally with Greg Land's art, I can look at it and see what his photo reference is, and most of them are porn. But his art did not get in the way. The story set up a lot of interesting ideas, so I'm excited about where that's going to go. And I like the fact that the characters are all shades of gray. Some of them are villains that are trying to do the right thing and be more heroic. Others are heroes that have fallen and are kind of moving to the other end of the spectrum. So you've got some interesting dynamics flowing there. The latest issue of Archie finally came out, was not drawn by Fiona Staples, still excellently done, still well worth the money. I'm amazed that they're doing it so well. Archie is one of those things that you always think of as more of a commodity than character, but they've really built the characters by making them feel more like real people rather than one-dimensional character types. I'm excited about the return of the X-Files. I also like that it's going to be six issues and done. Well, six issues, because TV shows are comic books. It's going to be six episodes and done. And I hope that more and more of these revival shows are like that, to kind of make the creators focus on telling the story. As we talked earlier in the episode, my big problem with the X-Files was they created this conspiracy and didn't have an ending for it. And the ending they did give us was messy and it didn't fit. And if you think about it for more than 5 minutes, blood starts coming out of your nose. The last thing I'm geeking on is kind of a hype thing. I met with a bunch of friends on Saturday night about a project that will be coming out of the Solitaire Rose Network this fall. And it was nice not just to get together with everyone, but kind of have that group creative thing going. I haven't had that in a long time. And there's something about collaboration when it's done right, that the ideas that come out of it are better than when it's just you sitting alone and doing the creative work. And I'm very excited about what's coming out of it. I'm very excited about what's going to be coming. And honestly, if it weren't for a whole bunch of the technical stuff and all the other stuff, we would have started it at the end of February. But there's a lot of moving parts that need to be done. So get ready for me to start hyping that around September. But I'm very excited about not just that, but all the stuff we're doing here, all of the different podcasts. I'm excited. I like working with you guys. You guys are my friends, and I get to work and do stuff with you, and that makes me happy.
Nerd.
Believe it or not, kids, you've listened to us blather on about funny books.
Rat bastard.
Now, those two are incompatible. All right, here. We're going to decide it once and for all.
Goody two shoes.
I want to know, am I a lousy rat bastard, or am I a goody two shoes?
Goody two shoes.
We're going to debate this. Joe,
no, I'm done.
Decides to fall on.
He just wanted to say rat bastard.
Corey, it is only when a mosquito lands on your testicles that you realize there is always a way to solve problems without using violence.
You're not going to give me an answer, are you? You two are going to continue this debate.
I don't mean
forever.
To interrupt people. I just randomly remember things and get really excited.
The comic we like the least, we still like better than the comic you like the most. Joe?
When I'm 80 years old and sitting in my rocking chair, I'll be reading Harry Potter, and my family will say to me, after all this time, and I will say, always, Alan Rickman. Jin?
Hit my David Bowie tribute music, boys.
Pressure! sat on the fence, but I don't want. Keep coming up with love, but it's so slashed and torn.